Hey, good morning, Crossroads. How are we this morning? Woo! Good to see everybody. Hey, my name is Brian. I'm the lead pastor here, and I'm back. I was gone last week, but so glad to be here. Great time away with my wife. It was just awesome, but really glad to be back with you guys. Listen, if you're a guest here today, we want to welcome you, especially if you're online, too. We want to welcome you. We know this is your connection with us. We want to say hi to you. But if you are in the house today, don't forget Merge is your connection with us to begin your road with us, to merge onto traffic here at Crossroads. Right outside of Nightingale Coffee on the second floor, you'll find an area there, and that's where you can get questions answered. We'll give you a free cup of coffee or tea up there and also get a chance just to hear your story. So it's really all about you. And also, you should know this week, really tonight, marks the end of our Financial Peace University journey, 9 weeks long. It's been a fantastic time. Unbelievable stuff happening. So we're okay. Jim, what can I do for you, Jim?
I saw that.
I don't know what I saw, but I saw something.
Is that the new Dodger jersey? Like, I don't know. Like, is that how that works? You didn't see that coming, did you?
No, this is what the last place in all of Major League Baseball Giants wears. Oh, sorry. No, we start over in the spring.
Good.
Hey, you're on my seconds.
What are you doing here today, my friend?
Hey, this coming week is Thanksgiving, and it marks a few things. In your bulletin, you have full information on Thanksgiving dinners that we're taking to families. You go and purchase the meals. You deliver it a few days ahead for that turkey to be able to thaw. You take it across their threshold and you pray with them. And you say, hey, God bless you. I hope you have a great Thanksgiving. We're still 13 short of families adopting another family to take a meal. If you'd be interested, information's in there. And then the turkey bowl.
Turkey bowl. Yeah,
turkey
tell
bowl.
Us about it. That's what
this is the 30th turkey bowl. And it's happening at Woodward. And this is a flag football game where maybe 5% of those 449 average in the last 3 years. Only like 5%, maybe 10% at the most, come from Crossroads. The others, they just show up in carload. They're coming from Sacramento, San Jose, and Turlock. They just know that incredible flag football happens. And we're preparing for 600 players. If you'd be interested in reffing, we put you in pairs, sometimes threes, to back you, and then I go postal on the captains before the game.
You do. It's a little
just,
scary.
I scare myself. Yeah. But we gotta back the black and white. If you're interested in reffing, we need you. And information's in the bulletin, how to reach me. But hey, this Thanksgiving is gonna be sweet because at 11 o'clock, we're done. But halftime for the Turkey Bowl is why we do the chaos. I was youth guy here for 20 years, and there's a book on junior high ministry called Controlled Chaos. That describes Turkey Bowl, is controlled chaos. But we keep it under control so at halftime we can present the gospel. Did you notice I'm spitting?
You're doing really good, yeah.
Halftime is the gospel, and I want every person in this room praying between 9 and 9:30 for the halftime. Pray that folks are attentive and that they hear the gospel, because making Jesus famous is what Turkey Bowl is all about. So you've got a part, but if you want to ref, you've got a part. If you want to register people and then you're done by 8:30, hey, come on, we need you. And it's early and then we're done. And then 11 a.m., we get to enjoy Thanksgiving and God's rich blessings.
Right. Hey, time's up. All right, get out of here. All right, we'll see you. All right, thanks so much for being here, Pastor Jim. That's right. So, hey, listen, get involved, be a part of that. That would be a great thing, just as a great community outreach that we do, just an opportunity for you to get connected. But listen, and also one other thing, I should probably remind you that the Thanksgiving is Thursday. So for some reason you come to Thursday night service, it's going to be really boring. You're like, it's going to be super boring. The parking lot's going to be dark. Tell me about service later, because we won't be here. But we'll start it up again next week. Don't worry. That's the only Thursday we really take off the entire year. So enjoy that time with your family. Only services on Sunday. But you are not going to want to miss next week, because we have a tremendous service, which we're calling Thankful, as we look back on two major events that have happened in the church this year that really culminate this year. So one is Financial Peace being done. Great stories coming out of there. You'll be able to hear about that. Second thing is our next campaign, which is the campaign we've done for this past year to invest in the next generation. We're going to be able to show you some stories from that, give you progress on what's happening. You are not going to want to miss it. It's going to be an amazing, amazing service, so don't miss it. But this week, we do finish off our last week of Generous, which is a series looking at generosity in all of its forms as we live out this life for Christ. That's what we ultimately want to do. And this week specifically, we're going to be finishing up this series, especially for us as a generous church, to be able to see what that looks like for us. Week one, though, we began all the way back and said generosity begins by learning to be. Simply being with someone, sitting with someone, hearing for someone, to give someone the gift of our time and our presence is some of the most valuable things that we can ever give them. We said it this way, that learning to be shows it's not about me. That when we learn to be, we're saying, listen, I'm in this room with you, I'm in this situation with you, and I don't care about me, this is all about you. I'm giving you my presence for you and your needs alone. That's what learning to be is all about. And then last week, week two, Pastor Ed did such a great job, didn't he? Just a fantastic job he did on learning this idea of willing to do. And one of the lines that he said that I just think is so important for us to remember was that the greatest of great has come to do the lowest of low. Like, I just love that idea. I love that idea because we need to, as a generous church, have our abilities be there because of Jesus, to give back because of Jesus. And we said it this way, that we do because of what he has done. We do because of what he has done. Because of what Jesus has done for us on the cross, we can't help but be generous in return in every possible way. And one of the ways that we can do that, a tangible way, is by serving, is by being willing to do. And I'm so happy to report that last week and last weekend alone, 210 people stepped up to serve for the first time. 210 people. That is unreal. So, so cool. Now, let me just say two things. One, if you did sign up to be part of that 210 people, you're not done yet. Like, you actually have to respond to the email, give them a call back. Like, it's not enough just to sign the paper, okay? You need to step across that line and do something and finish it all the way out. The other people that might have missed last weekend, or maybe you're here for the first time or deciding to dive in, don't worry. There's still the stuff to do, okay? So we're not tapped out yet. So you can go to crossroadsgrace.org/volunteer, and you can get involved, or you can go to the Crossroads app, and you can get signed up there too. It's going to be a great place for you to do that. Now, we're on week three, though. In week three, we're going to turn our attention to the resources God has given us. That's right. We're going to talk about the Benjamins, the shekels, the dead presidents, our bones, the blue cheese. Right? We're going to talk about our money today. It's going to be a good day. And I'm frankly fired up to talk about it today because I know that without a doubt that when we become generous in this area of our life, it will break through some major barriers in all the other areas of our life. See, I'm just crazy enough to believe that all of us want to be generous. We all want to be generous. Every single one of us deep down wants to be a generous person. We want to be that person that helps that person in need. We want to pay for that single mom's dinner. We want to be able to give to that nonprofit organization. We want to write a check for that person that who can't pay their rent. We want to do that. And there's no better proof that that's true than when tragedy strikes. Because when something happens, an event that happens that shakes the humanity out of us, we are very quick to give and serve and meet the needs of people we may never lay eyes on in this life. And that is what we are as a church family. And that's why I love our church so much. We are full of people that just are generous, an unreal generosity. Last week you heard about a team that went down to Houston, Texas to be able to help the victims down there. And I'm telling you, I know more of you wanted to come, but you gave and you gave your time and your resources because that's who we are. And I'm proud to tell you that the team down in Houston, that Pastor Tim has reported back to me that they're doing fantastic. They're getting more and more homes ready for the holidays. That was their goal. Last week I saw that they were delivering new appliances and furniture that people had donated and given. And so now they're able to furnish these homes that were completely destitute. It's been unreal. But that's just one example, Crossroads, of you getting involved and being generous. I could point to Thanksgiving meals, which I know we have a few more. That'll be taken care of, no doubt about it. Christmas presents for kids at Christmas time. School supply drives that we do. Sponsoring kids that go to camp. And on I could go. Because Crossroads, you step up. You're a generous, generous church. And I'm proud to be your pastor of a church that is generous. Y'all are awesome. Because when things happen, there is something that wells up inside us, that drives us to want to help. And I see it seems to be almost interwoven into the fabric of who we are as people in this world. And the reason it feels that way is because it is. I believe that God has wired us to be generous people, especially those of us that call ourselves believers in Jesus Christ. I mean, we just have to look to Jesus. And if we look to Jesus, if we were to say, is Jesus generous? Like, is it possible? Is he? It's absolutely he was generous in every possible way, in every aspect of his life. Think about it. Jesus was so generous, he came from heaven to earth. He died for our sins. He fed thousands of people that were hungry. He healed the blind. He helped the sick. He helped the injured. He actually even raised the dead. He spent time with people, teaching them, loving them. He played with kids. I mean, he was probably the jungle gym. You know what I'm saying? Like Jesus jungle gym. That's pretty cool. I'm going to trademark that. That'd be awesome. A Jesus jungle gym, right? He gave to the poor. He gave to the needy. At the very core of who Jesus is, he is generous. And that is what the first church used as their example when they began. See, we've been framing our time in this generous series with Acts chapter 2, looking at the very first church. And I think it makes sense to come back to it as we finish this series to look at how what they were striving for as a brand new church and what we as a church should strive for. Acts chapter 2, starting in verse 42, we read these lines. It says, "They, being the church, devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship, to the breaking of bread and to prayer. Everyone was filled with awe at the many wonders and signs performed by the apostles. All the believers were together and had everything in common. They sold property and possessions to give to anyone who had need. Every day, they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all people. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved." That's a fantastic scene that was just painted. But what I love about this is that the people fed off of each other. It was like a giant, like generosity love fest that was going on at the first church. And that's why I love what authors Chris Willard and Jim Shepherd said in their book. They said this, that generous people share themselves and their resources with others in such a way that it invites others to live generously too. So today I want to continue to unpack the why God wants us to be generous in all aspects of our life, but to invite you to be generous with another area of your life, and that's with your money. Now, don't get nervous. We're not passing the buckets twice. We're not doing anything like that today, okay? In fact, at the end of the service, you're going to find out how much we are not like that here at Crossroads. Especially if you're a guest here today, you should just know, like, we don't talk about this all the time, but it's important for us to be able to talk about. But I am going to ask you to search within yourself and to see the power of what being generous with your money can have not only on your personal life, but also your spiritual life too, the effects it has on you spiritually. And as we just saw in the book of Acts, generosity was clearly talked about in the New Testament, but it actually was talked about in the Old Testament too. In fact, in the Old Testament, we see one of the coolest examples of generosity that really tests the temperature of all generosity since then. So today what I want you to do, I want you to open your Bibles to Exodus chapter 35, Exodus chapter 35, or you can open your Crossroads app, go to the notes section, you can follow along right with me, Exodus chapter 35. And as you do that, let me just catch us up to speed on where we're at in the story in the book of Exodus. So by this time, the people of God, called the Israelites, God had let them out of Egypt through Moses' work. Remember the whole "let my people go" thing? Like that just happened. And they had just gone past the Red Sea where God parted it and killed all their enemies. Now they have this heavenly buffet given to them where they have food coming out of heaven and they have water coming out of a rock and they have a pillar of fire that guides them by night and a pillar of cloud by day. And God has given the people the Ten Commandments, actually twice because they jacked up the first round. And so he had to go back up and do it all again. And when Moses came down from being in the presence of the Lord for that long, it said that his face glowed, that the presence of God had changed him and he was glowing. And so he comes in front of the people in Exodus 35, but in order to stand in front of them, he had to veil his face from the radiance of God. And he speaks to them about something that God had told him on that mountain. He told them about this tabernacle that needed to be built. And the tabernacle was the place that God would reside in while he was on earth, that this is the spot that he would be in. And it was a monumental task for these people to try to do, a monumental task that Moses shares with them and says, this is how you're going to be a part of it. Exodus chapter 35, starting in verse 4 is where we now pick up. It says, "Moses said to the whole Israelite community, this is what the Lord has commanded. From what you have, take an offering for the Lord. Everyone who is willing is to bring to the Lord an offering of gold, silver, and bronze, blue, purple, and scarlet yarn, and fine linen, goat hair, ram skins dyed red, and another type of durable leather, acacia wood, olive oil for the light, spices for the anointing oil, for the fragrant incense, and onyx stones and other gems to be mounted on the ephod and the breastplate." So that, guys, this is a massive undertaking. A massive job that they've called the people of Israel to be a part of. And God is saying, it's going to cost you something in order for us to accomplish this goal. And I know that the tendency of some of us is like when a project comes up or something maybe inside or outside the church, we just kind of throw money at it and say, I'm good to go. That's all I'm going to have to do. But what I love about this text, when God calls these people to do this, is there's something very important to read. Verse 10 said this. He says, all who are skilled among you are to come and make everything the Lord has commanded. Isn't that cool? That was there was a balance established. That Moses said that when he was talking to the people, he said, God says, listen, I want you to be generous, but in all areas of your life. Absolutely, I want you to bring gold and silver and all this other stuff to fund the project, but I also want to bring yourself. I want you to bring yourself. You need to be invested. You have to have skin in the game. And so he asked the people to be wildly generous in all areas of their life, both with their wealth and with their abilities. And he still does. Again, being a generous church is about all parts of our life. But since Pastor Ed did such a great job about talking about serving last week, let me keep our generous eyes focused on giving today. So how does God call us to be generously, biblically, generous biblical givers with our money? And not just, careful, not just in what we think God says, but what God actually calls us to do. And the Old Testament has the clearest verse when it comes to that in Malachi chapter 3, verse 10, where it says this. Beginning part of it says, bring the whole tithe into the storehouse that there may be food in my house. Bring the whole tithe to the storehouse, there might be food in my house, which is a tithe is the first 10% of what we make. And that's to be given to the storehouse, it says. In our context, the storehouse is the church. That's the work of the Lord. This is what we call the tithe, or the 10% that we make. We honor God with our very best right off the top because of how much we love him, the gratitude we have towards him, and our obedience towards him. This should literally be a budget line item for us in our personal budgets, just like electricity and groceries and Netflix, all that stuff. God should get top billing in our budget. Top billing. First thing that we should look at is to honor him. This should be our ultimate goal as Christians. In the Barna Research Group, they found some interesting things about generous people. They asked this question. They said, do motives make a difference? And they sure do, they said. Christians whose ultimate financial goal is centered on serving God or providing for others tend to be open-handed with their resources. They're givers. While those whose goal is self-focused are more likely to hold on to their money, and they call them keepers. So our goal as Christians is to be givers, not keepers. But on top of that obedience to God, there is an even greater why to the reason that we give. And the reason he wants us to put him number one in our financial lives is so that more people might know Jesus. That should be our heart's ultimate desire as Christians. Because at the end of the day, at the end of this life, that will be what matters the most. So let me just give you a silly example of what this looks like today. So let's just say that you are on a game show, okay? You're on a game show, and let me just tell you, you are crushing it. Like, you're killing it, right? All the questions are coming, you're answering them all. All the challenges that you have to do, you're doing great. You are stacking up money just higher and higher and higher. You're winning this game. And then all of a sudden, things start getting just a little bit weird, let's just say. And so it comes time for the next thing, and the guy comes on, the host comes on and says, all right, Johnny, here's your next contestant. I don't know why I have a voice like that, but it just works really good, doesn't it, right? Okay, so you know, all right, Johnny, hey, here's your next thing. We're gonna have our next game that you have to play is called 10 Off the Top. And Johnny, what this is that you have to actually now spend some of the money that you just earned. Only 10% of it, don't worry, and you actually get to decide what it is. We're not gonna make you pay your electric bill or anything like that. We're gonna decide, we're gonna allow you to choose what you're gonna spend 10% of those earnings on. And so we've kind of looked at you and looked at your life, and we've found a thing that is perfect for you. In fact, two things that we know mean a great deal to you that I believe you're going to want to spend 10% of what you've earned on. Are you ready, Johnny? Johnny's like, yeah, right? So all of a sudden, on one side of the stage, this curtain opens, and wouldn't you know it? It is the perfect car that you've ever wanted in your entire life. Black BMW, leather seats. It's got the roof that opens. It doesn't even have a cassette player. Like, it's got like a real deal radio in it, you know? Like, it's the exact car that you want. It sounds pretty. It looks pretty. It is pretty. It is your BMW. You've always wanted. So on one side of the coin, you're like, oh my goodness, I want to spend 10% of what I made to get that. That's pretty cool. But then on the other side of the stage, all of a sudden they open it up and you're thinking, what is this going to be, right? And on the other side of the stage is your mother-in-law. Like, she's just right there, right? There she is. But the only difference is that your mother-in-law is in a cage and it's being suspended over hungry lions, right? So that's what it is, okay? So the guy comes back to you and says, all right, Johnny, what do you want to do? Do you want to get this BMW that you've always wanted? Or do you want to save your mother-in-law's life? What are you going to do? And then the music starts, right? People start yelling for the crowd, take the car. You know what I mean? Like they're just yelling, you know, like they just said. And then you don't start biting your fingernails. You don't care because your wife says it's gross, but whatever. You're in the moment, right? You're trying to figure it out. And so he comes back out of commercial break. He says, all right, Johnny, what's it going to do? Are you going to take the car? Are you going to take your mother-in-law? What do you do? Of course you save your mother-in-law. You think about it for a couple minutes, but then you save your mother-in-law. Why? Because there are not enough trips to Capitola in your BMW with your wife for her to forgive you for murdering her mother on national TV. Just doesn't happen. I'm sorry, you don't overcome that. It's just not gonna work that way. So that's a silly example though, but for a very real point. Every day, every week, every month, we make decisions on how we spend our money. So do we spend it on what we want right away in the moment? Or do we stop and give back to God before we do anything else? Do we give back to God through the mission of His church to seek and save the lost, not from lions, but from an eternity apart from God and His love? Or do we not? Do we just do what we want? See, the reason God wants us to give Him back a 10% of what we make is not just to show our overwhelming gratitude and our obedience to Him, but it's also so that the church can be the vehicle to save people's eternal lives. Sure, some of that helps to keep the lights on and pay salary, but all of that works toward this one goal, this one mission of showing people who Jesus is. And I just believe that someday, when this life is over, we're going to be able to see the impact of what we made. But I believe the fullest impact won't be seen until we're gone. And for right now, God says to us, trust me. Trust me with the first 10%, and I will do more with that for the kingdom of God than you ever imagined. If you want to get the greatest return on your money, the biggest ROI, then look no further than the work of the church. Look no further than the mission field of seeing people know Jesus as their Savior. There's nothing better than that. And on top of that, God says through our obedience and our faithfulness, not only does the kingdom of God expand, but He says, we're blessed too. See, look at the second part of that verse in Malachi 3:10, where it says this, test me in this, says the Lord Almighty, and see if I will not throw open the floodgates of heaven and pour out so much blessing that there will not be room enough to store it. You know the only time in the Bible that it ever says to test me, that God ever says test me? It's right there. It's the only time. It has to do with our money. You know what he's basically saying is that God wants to bless our obedience, but we have to be obedient to see the blessing. He wants to. He wants to bless our obedience, but we have to be obedient in order to receive the blessing. That doesn't mean it's health and wealth and everything you've ever wanted, because God's blessing is so much greater than that. But when it comes down to it, it comes down to obedience. And parents, you get this. You get this. You don't reward your kids for talking about cleaning their room, do you? No, you give them their allowance when they clean the room. You know, like you got to do something. And so God is saying, listen, give me the first 10% of what you make and see what my blessing looks like in your life. In fact, test me in this and see what I'll do. But we got to be obedient and we have to trust. So what I wanted to do today is I wanted to get down to a very granular level about generosity as it comes to Crossroads here in regards to your money. Again, I'll reiterate this. If you're a guest today, we don't always do this, but this is actually important for you to know, because this is the church that you potentially might become a part of and say, hey, this is what they're all about. I wanted to give you a very clear, transparent look about how we break things down around here and how God looks at our different types of giving when it comes to the church. So the first is that when you give to what's called the general offering. And the general offering, what that is that's the money that we use to run ministry. So that's keeps the lights on, that pays for salary of staff that we have and that we still desperately need. All the ministries that you see, that's what helps to function that. This is the money that the Bible will call our first fruits. That's the first 10% off the top. That's what goes to the storehouse or to the church. And so when we consider our generosity biblically, this is where our money should be going. Again, a tenth or a tithe is the income that God gives us and that we're supposed to give above anything else. Mentioned in the Old Testament, also reiterated in the New Testament, both by Jesus and the apostles. But this isn't a rigid, hard, fast number. It's really a jumping off point in a lot of cases. Because when we strive to be generous, this may look different for different people. The key is the why. The why always comes back to Jesus. It has to be focused to Him. And if God has blessed us with more, then it might look like more than 10%, depending on how he directs you and your family. So the general offering, number one, that's where our tithe goes to. Number two, though, we have the missions offering. Here we have the missions offering. And this is how we support missionaries locally and internationally. Those people that go to the farthermost reaches of the world and tell people about Jesus. So we support missionaries not only in the United States, but in Africa, India, Mexico, Hungary, Philippines, the Middle East, and Latin America. But these missionaries have expanded even beyond their borders, and the ripple effects of them is tremendous. And you should know, since the beginning of this church some 30 years ago, this church has given over $2.4 million to missions, which has impacted 137 countries around the globe. And if you consider there's only 195 known nations in the world, that means that 70% of the world's nations have been affected by Crossroads Grace and the giving that you've had. That's pretty cool, isn't it? That's amazing. Now, this is giving that's over and above that tithe that I just talked about. So the tithe goes to the storehouse. Over and above that can go to missions. And I'll be very honest with you. I have done a terrible, poor job of communicating and letting you know how we're doing in the missions arena. God has been doing and moving great things in the missions arena, and I just want to let you know and stay more committed to letting you know how that's happening. Because missions is an area where the sky is the limit when it comes to what can get accomplished. It truly is limited by the amount given because the mission field around the globe is ripe for the harvest right now. So ways that you can give to that is you can earmark that on your check in the notes section that goes to missions, or online or on the app. You can also designate that as a missions giving. You can do that. That's the second way you can do that. General fund and missions. And then the third category is when we kind of go over and above, when we go crazy and we just say, hey, God, we're going to do this huge thing for you, and we're going to trust you with some radical things. There are different types of campaigns. So the next campaign is an example of that. And the next campaign is where we said we're going to commit to investing in the next generation. It's over and above our tithes and our offerings. And what we're going to do is we're just going to generously, wildly give and see what you're going to do for a greater mission that's happening here at Crossroads. Again, next week we get to celebrate the fruit of that. But that's an example of another way that you can give here. But my reason for telling you this is that I want you to know what's happening here at Crossroads and invite you to be a part of that. We're inviting you to be part of the generosity of God. And this is where your first fruits go at Crossroads. General giving, missions, and then these different campaigns that come up from time to time. And I realize that this is going to look different for different people. As you have your walk with God and where you're at in your faith journey, I understand that it's going to look different. So for some of you, it might look like, instead of putting money in every now and again, that you say, you know, I'm going to start to become a percentage giver. I'm not ready to go to the 10th, but I'm going to start to give a percentage of my money each and every week to the church. Some of you might need to move that needle more towards the tithe. Maybe you need to kind of press yourself a little bit. Maybe some of you need to dive in and just start tithing and saying, this is what God's been pressing on my spirit. And then some of you, maybe you've been given the blessing of wealth, and you need to move that needle a little bit above the 10%. Whatever it is for you, I guarantee that God will be with you every step of the way. Every step of the way. Because here's the thing. Anytime you take a step closer to God, it's never a wasted step. Never. Anytime you take a step toward God, he's going to honor that. But what would happen to these people, if we bring ourselves back to the story, what would happen to these people that Moses just commanded? How would they respond to this gauntlet being laid down in front of them and saying, hey, we want you to give. I want you to give back to the storehouse, to this tabernacle. What would happen? Well, look in verse 20. We pick up the story. It says, then the whole Israelite community withdrew from Moses' presence, and everyone who was willing and whose heart moved them came and brought an offering to the Lord for the work on the tent of meeting, for all its service, and for the sacred garments, it says. See, first thing I love about this is that it didn't happen instantaneously. Did you notice that? I love that it said that the people withdrew. You might catch that. They went to their home. They talked about it. They discussed it as a family. Which is very important. It's a very important aspect of generosity that we need to consider. That being generous is contagious. Absolutely it is. But it's also something that is taught. So therefore, it can and should be taught to our kids. Again, research from the Barner Group will tell us this. It says that those who give more are most likely to spend time serving others, but they are also more likely to say generosity is a frequent topic of conversation in their family. Right, it just makes sense that generosity needs to be part of the fabric of our homes. And I'm willing to bet that if you look at 9 out of 10 generous people, most likely they came from a generous home. And so as parents, we have to ask ourselves, if we want to see our kids to be generous someday, which I'm sure all of us do, then we have to realize that that doesn't happen by accident. We need to set the pace for our kids. And it starts by honoring God with our money and sharing with our kids why we do what we do. So after today, what I'm going to invite you to do is withdraw as a family. See where your level of generosity is as a family. But once you have withdrawn and considered, then I want you to act. Because that's what the people of God did. They withdrew, and then they acted, and they were crazy generous. Look at verse 29. It tells us how what they actually did. Verse 29 says, all the Israelite men and women who were willing brought to the Lord free will offerings for all the work the Lord, through Moses, had commanded them to do. Again, I want you to catch something very important in that text that you might have missed. It's three little words that make all the difference in this whole story. And I believe will make all the difference in your generosity too. And those three little words are this: who was willing? Who was willing? In fact, that phrase, every time someone gave, it was prefaced with that time. Every time. Who was willing? You know what that says to me? Who was willing shows me that it wasn't forced. It wasn't forced. They weren't forced into doing it. They weren't guilted into giving. No, it says they withdrew as a family, and then they gave willingly because they knew the cause of Christ was great. They knew what God was calling to them was great. And so they gave. The Apostle Paul actually talks about this willing giving in the New Testament into a church that he was speaking to in Corinth. And he said to them in 2 Corinthians 9:7, he says, each of you should give what you have decided in your hearts to give, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. Now, have you ever been at a table, like you've been eating with your family or friends, and somebody tells a story or a joke, and then you are laughing so hard that like stuff starts coming out your nose, you know? Like you've been suppressing that snort when you laugh your whole life, but it just comes out, like that whole thing just starts happening, and you know, your abs start cramping up because that's the only time you ever work them out. Like that's the only time, you know? And you get a little lightheaded and you know, like that kind of laugh and that kind of enjoyment, that's exactly what Paul is talking about right there. Because the word Paul chose for cheerful in our language means hilarious. Hilarious. He's saying, I want you to be such a willing giver, such a hilarious giver, such a generous giver that you have that kind of feeling, that kind of laugh inside of you, the kind of joy that hurts your side, that your face is all cramped up, but you don't care because it's so much fun and it feels so good. That is the type of giving willingly that he's talking about there. And when that happens, being generous is something we become eager to do. And that's when crazy stuff starts happening in a church that just is eager to give. In fact, we want to make this idea of giving so, and this willing giving, so easy for you and so joyful that we actually decided to do something radical here and change the way we do offerings here. We've decided as a staff and as a leadership to no longer pass those white buckets anymore in church, okay? And I know some of you are going to be really bummed out that the chicken buckets don't go by anymore, okay? It's okay. Like, I understand you've been looking for that wing for weeks and you've never found it, all right? But listen, and we're so serious about this that we just went varsity and we burned them. Like, check a look. This is what we did. We burned them, right? You know, people are clapping. They don't know. Should you clap for burning offering buckets? I don't know. You can. You could totally do that, right? But here's the reason. This is simply this. This is the reason. We don't ever want you to feel anything, ever feel guilty to give, ever. We want you to be joyful while you're giving. So here's what we're going to do. And the answer is we're not going to have you not give. All right, that's not the answer, okay? Here, three ways that you can now give here at Crossroads. The first two are digital. The first way that you can do is get our app, the Crossroads Grace app, free app. It's got all kinds of great resources on there. And you can give on the app just by setting it up there. Listen, I know that most people now don't pay with cash or check anymore. I get it. Just go to McDonald's. You see how many people pay with what they pay with. And just it's everywhere. And so what that means is that there's an opportunity when that guilty bucket goes by, you're like, I don't have anything, I can't put anything in. And so you feel like, oh, what do I do? Well, we want to take all that out. So you can set that up. You can set up reoccurring giving on the app, or you can do that online. crossroadsgrace.org/give. You can go right there and you can set it up. And actually, it's a tremendously easy thing. And what my wife and I do is we set up reoccurring giving. So we don't have to think about it. It just comes out to be able to make sure that we give God our first tithe out of our, we go right to the church. So that's what you can do. You can go on the app or you can go online. Now, the other way that you can do it is that you can give in what we're calling our offering boxes. And when you leave here, you'll see them as you exit the church and also at the side doors when you leave there too. Now, this is a way because I know in Financial Peace University, Dave Ramsey talks about feeling it when you give. And so we know that some people, you enjoy doing that. That's totally fine. So you can still give there. There's envelopes there. We'll start putting them in the seat backs for you too, so you can do that. But that's a way that you can physically give and still keep up with your tithes and offerings. So three ways, two digital, one on the app, one online, or you can do the giving boxes as you leave. That's your options that you can do. But more than anything else, we want us to grow, to be excited about generosity, to be eager to give, just like every other area in our life. Because when a church gets generosity, there's some pretty amazing things that happen. In fact, 2 weeks ago, I gave you a challenge. I said, hey, I want you to give $5 when you leave. We're gonna do something really cool with it, but I'm not gonna tell you what it is. $5, that's all it's gonna cost you, is $5 in order to be a part of this. And you know what? You guys paid attention, because in just $5 increments, we have $3,400 that was given as far as a $5 challenge, okay? All right, that's pretty cool. I even told you what we did with it, and you're clapping. That's pretty cool, all right? So 3,400 bones was given. Well, here's the thing. For those of you that gave, the reason we did that is we wanted to give you a taste of what it's like to be generous. So would you take a look at what your generosity crossroads did? And this is action. This is you in action just by a small $5. Take a look at what happened. Isn't that awesome? You know, the best stuff was even when the camera wasn't rolling. Because here's some stuff you didn't know. One of the guys that we paid for, he came out and he said, I just lost my job. You have no idea how much that meant. There was a lady there that was so overwhelmed because no one had ever done that for her. One of the ladies had to start putting stuff back because she didn't have enough money to pay for it. So we were able to pay for that. There was one lady that can only speak Spanish and she just kept saying, but why? But why? But why? But that happened because of you. A small sacrifice makes a huge difference in some people's lives. You got to taste what generosity is all about. And do you know who had the most fun in that video? The people paying. And you know why? Because we had it took 2 days to spend all that money because we're crazy. It was just awesome. It took 2 days. So they like rearranged their schedules. They like canceled appointments and stuff like that. No. We'll be back. We got to get some of that. Because when you taste that generosity, you want more of it. You just want more of it. In fact, let's dive back in this verse in Exodus. And so after the people began to bring their offerings, Moses basically had to hire a couple of general contractors to kind of oversee the tabernacle project. And their names I'm going to call are Bez and Oho. And these guys, these are the guys who are making sure the work was getting done. You read in there, they're actually supposed to teach others to help them do the work right. But now check this out. What happens is the project starts to come together. It's going to blow your mind. Look in Exodus 36, start in verse 2. It says this, then Moses summoned Bez and Oho and every skilled person to whom the Lord had given ability and who was willing to come and do the work. They received from Moses all the offerings the Israelites had brought to carry out the work of constructing the sanctuary. And the people continued to bring freewill offerings morning after morning. So all the skilled workers who were doing all the work on the sanctuary left what they were doing and said to Moses, the people are bringing more than enough for doing the work the Lord commanded to be done. Then Moses gave an order, and they sent this word throughout the camp. No man or woman is to make anything else as an offering for the sanctuary. And so the people were restrained from bringing more, because what they had already had was more than enough to do all the work. Did you see what just happened there? The people brought so much offering. They brought so much stuff to be used. They were so generous that Moses had to tell them to stop. Are you kidding me? That's as rare as a competitive eater saying, I'm full. Like, that just doesn't happen, you know? But it did. Moses told the people, y'all got to stop giving because you've met all the needs. Can I just tell you something? I would love, 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 love to stand in front of you and say, y'all are crazy givers. Just stop it. Right? I would love to be able to do that. I'd love to have to say, guys, you guys are out of control. We've eradicated poverty. No one's homeless. Every orphan is taken care of. Everyone knows Jesus. Just stop it. That would be amazing. But I'm pretty sure that that'll never happen because the world's lost its mind and there's always going to be reasons that we as a church can step in. So don't get excited. I'm not going to ask you not to give. Just relax. But it does beg the question, doesn't it? How in the world is that possible? How in the world do people give so much that Moses says, stop? I'll tell you how. It's when people are willing to trust God with all they have for a greater kingdom purpose. It's when you see a vision greater than yourself, but see how you can be a part of it. It's when you don't allow fear or greed to overtake your spirit, but you stay open to what God wants in your life, and you have nothing off limits to Him. It's when we are completely and utterly sold out to be generous in our lives that crazy stuff starts happening, that Satan gets all kinds of nervous, all kinds of nervous. And that's when churches start to make the greatest impact in their community. Because when we're obedient to what God calls us to, He blesses us beyond what we could ever imagine. And I want that for us, Crossroads. I want that for you, Crossroads. Not just from the financial aspect, but from the spiritual aspect. That's what I want. I want us to understand the why behind generosity so that we can live a generous life out of a deep love of Jesus. Because I know that if we get the spiritual side of this right, then the learning to be, the willing to do, and the eager to give will just naturally flow. So when it all boils down, giving as a Christian is summed up very simply as this: that giving is letting go of what we have to cling to who we need. It's letting go of all that stuff that we think defines us and we need, and we cling to who we need. We need Jesus. That's who we need. When it all comes down to it, when we boil it all down, that is who we need. And I know people are sitting out there and you're saying, well, is Jesus going to pay my rent? And listen, here, I get that. We can't just give all of our money away willy-nilly and say, Jesus, take the wheel. I don't care what Carrie Underwood says. It doesn't work that way. We need to be responsible with what we earn. But remember, God gave it to us. And God's saying, listen, I want you to trust me. I want you to be generous in the same vein that I was generous to you. I gave you Jesus, my one and only son. That's pretty generous. Pastor Andy Stanley says it this way. He says, generosity is something we want for you, not from you. That's the truth. I don't want anything from you. I want everything for you. And what I want for you is for you to see Jesus, to see how generous He was for us, and for us to reflect our lives that same way as we learn to be, as we're willing to do, as we're eager to give. So this time of communion, this is our chance to remember Jesus, to remember how generous He was for us. In a second, trays are going to pass in front of you. There's bread in the bottom and juice in the top of that of those trays. Take those cups out, hold on to them. We'll commune together as a body of believers. Because what communion is, it's a chance for us to remember what Jesus did for us, that He died on the cross, that He shed blood for us, that His body was broken for us, that we might have forgiveness of sins through Him. That's generosity. If you don't believe in Jesus here today, it's fine. You can let that tray go by, no problem. But if you do believe in Jesus, if you've committed your life to following Him, then you need to wrestle with this idea of how generous are you in all facets of your life? And what are you willing to give, knowing how much He gave us? Let's pray. Father God, I just love You so much. I thank You that You're generous towards us. Would You just stir in our spirit this overwhelming gratitude towards You, a reminder of how much You've done for us, how much You love us. So Jesus, in this moment, we'll remember You through communion, through bread and through juice. Might we also remember how much You've done for us in saving us. And that we might, in a small way, look at our lives of how we be with people, what we do, and what we give, and might we reflect on what you might call us to. Jesus, thank you for loving us. Thank you for giving. May we remember you now. It's in your name we pray. Amen. All believers are welcome to commune with us. Would you stand to your feet? Let's take communion together. And as we prepare to take communion and we prepare to leave here, I will invite you that as you leave, those offering boxes are there, offering on the side. You can give digitally online. I am going to ask you to give because it's something that God's called us to. Not something that we want from you, but for you, to be generous. A reminder of that through Jesus, who this bread is, represents his broken body, broken for you and I. So we take and eat in remembrance of him now. This juice represents his shed blood for the forgiveness of our sins, the greatest act of generosity the world's ever seen. Take and drink in remembrance of him. As we pray, Father God, we love you. We thank you. We ask that our lives would be a reflection of yours. As we look at your life, you are generous. Generous to the sense that you would give your own son to die for our sins. So, Father, may we have a fraction of that in our lives. May we trust you more. May we believe that you have good in for us. May we test you. And might we be blessed by you as we do. Father, be with us now as we leave into this dark world we enter. May we do something with what we've heard, being generous in every area of our life. We love you. We thank you. It's in Jesus' beautiful name we pray. Amen. Hey, God bless you guys. Have a great week. Tag, you're it.